So we will go to agenda item seven, report, discussion, and possible action on the report from the groundwater committee. That committee chair is Gary Westbrook. They had a couple of meetings since our October meeting. I think it was November 29th and January 17th. So I will turn it over to Gary.
Thank you, Wayne. I want to thank our committee. Jim Briggs is the vice chair, Jennifer Nations, Kathy Turner-Jones, Scott Felton, Dale Adams, Patrick Wagner, for your attention to detail and your efforts on what we were tasked to complete. If we'll go ahead and we got James up there, that's good. James has some presentations that will include the items that we need to take action on today, and I'll be glad to answer questions on those, any of those, as we move through the items. So, James, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah, please take it away.
This includes agenda item 7.1, report from the technical consultant, discussion and possible action on recommendations of the Brazos G Groundwater Committee regarding groundwater availabilities and supply allocations for the purposes of the 2026 Brazos G Regional Water Plan. Now you can have it, James.
All right. Thank you. And I'm James Beach with Advanced Groundwater Solutions. We're a subconsultant to Corolla and the consultant team here. So, again, thanks to the committee for doing a lot of hard work in those meetings to get us to where we are today. As Wayne said, we're in the front end of a lot of really detailed technical discussions. I'm going to keep this at a relatively high level, knowing that the Groundwater Committee's already dove into the details. But if you see something you have questions about or want to slow me down, please raise your hand, ask questions, and we'll go in and the detail as we need to. So, yes.
Questions, is there something you don't understand? Because there will be a group of recommendations at the end that's coming from the Groundwater Committee for y'all to approve. So I want to make sure that everybody has a comfortable feel with all of it. All right, sorry about that, James. Should have said that up front.
So what we're covering is just a review of the joint groundwater planning and Region G groundwater overview. The committee spent quite a bit of time looking at all of that data that flows out of the joint planning process. And that's what, of course, comes into the regional water planning process. They reviewed and compared groundwater availability and then looked at MAG and non-MAG availabilities and how to allocate supplies. So we'll go into all of those in a little bit more detail. Good refresher for those of you who are familiar with groundwater and deal with it every day. This is an old concept here. Put this slide together about 10 years ago, trying to help other people who don't work with groundwater every day to understand how the MAG that's developed during the joint planning process on the left is flows into the regional water planning process on the right. And so once those MAGs are set at the joint planning level, then they basically are required to be used for recommended strategies in the regional water planning process. And of course, both of these processes are ongoing all the time and updates are occurring. So that's sort of how the MAGs get developed, and then non-MAGs kind of flow out of that process as well sometimes. So essentially, the joint planning in Region G, here's just a summary of some of that. You've got 5 GMAs, 13 GCDs. There's actually more counties that are not in groundwater districts than that are in a GCD. 6 major aquifers, 11 minor aquifers, critical groundwater supply, 840,000 acre feet up to 940,000 acre feet of availability. So every one of these aquifers, majors and minors, the joint planning process develops DFCs, and they file them with the Water Development Board, and they develop explanatory reports. All of that was reviewed. You can see the summary of it here. The groundwater availability is basically a primary supply in a lot of Region G, a lot of areas in Region G. As I mentioned, it's comprised of the MAG, the modeled available groundwater, which comes through that joint planning process, and the non-MAG availability. We'll go through some more details on that. There's some, you know, discussion later of the mag peak factor, which is a tool sometimes allowed to be used for by the Water Development Board to help out on water management strategies. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Just a quick summary of some of the technical information and what's in that memo. We covered that top bullet there, some of those top bullets already. But one thing to note is that the mag cannot be changed. And that'll come into play here on one of the slides I'm going to show you where we talk about Limestone County. And we'll just make a note of that. So, again, we won't go through all the numbers, but this is the groundwater availability by aquifer and decade across across the planning horizon. And you can see the change from the last round. There is an increase in general, and most of those increases occur in the Carrizo-Wilcox and the Gulf Coast aquifer, and then there's some decreases as well that are summarized on the bottom with the minor aquifers. Again, by aquifer and county, and basin, you can see the percentage of changes. And again, the Groundwater Committee went through all of this and came up with, helped us come up with some recommendations on, non-MAG availabilities, et cetera. So all of those were reviewed. The supply allocations and the 2021 water management strategies were reviewed. All of these were put together to come up with the recommendations for today as far as supply allocations. The big news is we're going to stick with a lot of the same planning perspectives and concepts that were used in the last round. We'll go through some of that in a little bit. So let's look at Limestone County for a second, and it's an example of how the joint planning process plays into availability for the regional water planning process. There was a 92% decrease in the MAG there because the GMA basically in the process of designing the DFC and developing pumping for the model basically overlooked some of the historical production there. And so there's just going to be a shortage in the MAG there for some of the uses, the historic uses, and the water management strategies. It's not really appropriate to use a MAG peak factor because there's such a shortage. It's not really appropriate use of that. So the MAG will be fixed, hopefully, by GMA 12 next time, and we'll get back to an appropriate availability there, and we're basically saying we'll use alternate strategies there and reduce the water management or the supplies for historical uses there. So the decreases, just a summary here of the decreases in the non-MAG availabilities that basically happened generally through the joint planning process, the modeling process, and if those had been adjusted in prior rounds, they might not have been adjusted at the Water Development Board, through that process. And so we've got some changes that we're recommending there. Essentially, if you look at that left column, we're restoring the 2021 non-MAG availabilities for the counties and aquifers on the right there. That's, Brazos River Alluvium, Blaine Aquifer, Dockham, and Seymour. And then in the Trinity and Palo Pinto County, just a simple proportional reduction in the supply allocations. Again, if you have more questions about this, we can cover it at the end. And then so those recommendations for allocations of that limited groundwater supply, we recommend starting with the supply allocations from the last plan in 2021, and also adopt and employ the methodology from the last round of planning, which is summarized there in the bullets. And there was a policy consideration, discussing equal consideration of municipal and non-municipal uses. We'll talk a little bit about that. The recommendation in regards to allocations of limited groundwater supplies. Although we discussed prioritizing municipal utilities and then proportionally reducing WUGs, that was not recommended. The recommendation is proportional reductions for all the WUGs across the board, no matter what their use type is. And then for recommendations of allocations of unallocated groundwater supplies, again, approving and adjusting supplies based on updated availabilities, and again, using the same strategy that was used in the last round of planning. There was, again, discussion of planning limitations related to existing supplies, and we won't go into detail about that here, but if you have questions, we can cover it at the end. So I'm going to slow down here just a little bit because the committee did a lot of hard work and ended up here on the 17th of January, with each one of these being voted on by the committee, and you can see the details of the motions and the seconds here and how the vote came out. But essentially, the changes in the MAG availabilities and their recommendations, and I'll just read this, for the aquifer shown here and discussed today with the information as presented, that the committee recommends that the technical consultant recommendations be adopted and carried forward for the planning group's consideration. And for changes in the non-MAG availability and recommendations, for the aquifer shown here and discussed today with the information as presented, that the committee recommends that the technical consultant recommendations in coordination with the Water Development Board be adopted and carried forward for the planning group's considerations. And you can see the vote there. For the recommendations for allocations of limited groundwater supplies, we recommend the proportional reductions of all WUGs consistent with the methodology in the last plan. And then for recommendations of allocations and unallocated groundwater supplies, there's two, and we want to slow down here just a little bit. You saw the previous slide here that had all of the details of how the allocations would be done across the board for each water user group, and so that is summarized here. Going back, okay, that's summarized there in a lot of text on that first one, which is basically providing the allocation and the methodology for that allocation. The second item was to encourage the Regional Water Planning Group to look at including an appropriate chapter in the appropriate chapter and through our policy committee to raise the concerns expressed in this and prior discussions to the Water Development Board and ask that they revisit their rules on how they review the MAG and its use in SWIFT funding. And I'll allow the committee members to talk more about that if y'all have questions about it. And then the review of requests for the use of the MAG peak factor, quite a bit of discussion about how the MAG peak factor can be a useful tool. When we surveyed the groundwater conservation districts, they all indicated they were not interested in pursuing a MAG peak factor at this point. And I believe there was one district that said there was a general understanding that if there was specific issues that came up while we were developing strategies, that some districts might be open to revisiting a non-peak factor. But the recommendation is to not use any MAG peak factors at this time. So, and then in grand summary, we suggest that the Brazos G Regional Water Planning Group adopts the recommendations of the Brazos G Groundwater Committee as presented above for the purposes of the 2026 Brazos G Regional Water Plan. So that's the suggested action today. I'm going to go back a slide and allow the Groundwater Committee to take questions or comments on any of the specific recommendations.
Any questions for James or Gary or the committee? These are their drafted recommendations for the group from the charge that we gave them.
It would be important to me just to hear a little bit of the discussion on the pros and cons of the use of the mag peak factor. I trust the committee, and I don't want to rehash that issue, but just a brief comment by any of the committee members on the pros or cons on the recommendation not to use peak factors at this time.
Mr. Westbrook, you want to address that?
Yeah, we don't have any requests that we're aware of from anyone. That was the reason for the caveat, that if one does come in later, then we would address it at that time. But we've kind of reached out to each of the GMAs, and there's been no requests. There were during the last round, but there's been none this round. So there's really not anything to consider.
Any other committee members want to chime in on that? That answer your question, Alan? Kind of.
I would just, so in the previous rounds, you did have a few GMAs that were asking for that, a few supply.
I believe we only had one.
One.
And it was in GMA 12, and that was resolved. One of the things that you saw in those differences a while ago, you've had some groundwater availability model updates for GMA 12, and that changed availability. In other words, the mag number on several items in our GMA. You also had ongoing work to update groundwater models in other GMAs that resulted in some other changes, as well as some changes in strategies. So this time through, there just wasn't anything that was requested or even anything that became obvious to deal with. We actually went back and evaluated that specific situation from last time, and it was resolved because of an increase in availability due to the update of the model.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Sure. Okay, any other questions for, yes, Dale Spurgeon?
Gary, on just the process, if somebody comes in and requests a peak factor, is that going to be considered a minor or major amendment?
That's something that you'd have to ask our consultants about. And the one thing that has to happen before we can really consider it, it has to go through the GMA and the Groundwater Conservation District also.
Correct.
So that's kind of a little bit of a delay. If someone were to show up today, well, it's got to go back to the GMA. Groundwater District has to weigh in, then it's got to go back to the GMA again. You're several months down the road, even if you're trying to fast track. So, James, Tony?
Yeah, I could speak to the technical things about the mag peak factor. I'll let Tony speak to the schedule and when we need that done and how that might.
It's not an amendment because we wouldn't have an adopted plan yet. So we would need to go through that process, but it wouldn't be a minor or major amendment or amendment at all.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
James, I and Gary.
Jim Briggs.
A question. Just for clarity purposes, and I apologize, Gary, I missed the meeting where the action
I wasn't going to call you out, Jim.
Well, I just for full disclosure, I'm the caretaker for a 92-year-old mother,
yes.
And that was not a good time, and yes. So I was real occupied with that.
We understood that.
Fortunately, that's behind me, but on some of that, she's doing much better, but I had a question on the power and the manufacturing, the 125% of 2020 use. And I'm just asking specifically on that with certain recent events for planning purposes, how that actually equates to meeting those particular demands that are out there. And I noticed they just announced the 1,200 megawatt gas unit going in at Rockdale. So I just wanted some more detail and information on how that'll meet the numbers and the math as we go forward.
James, if you or Tony would care to address how we discussed that and handled it and rolled it forward from the last round.
So these are the methods from last round. We're just updating the data with the 2020 use. As far as how it goes with comparison to demands, this is how we allocate the supply to determine the supply side of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
So if the demands are going to be rocketing up in the future or rocketing up in the near term, then that whatever that comparison is, that's going to be the delta difference when we're looking at projected demand versus existing supply. So that's really how it'll play out as we're identifying what the gaps or shortages are, where the needs are, and identifying the size of strategies that are necessary.
Right. So this is one side of the ledger, and as we go through the process, we're going to do the accounting and see where we are.
Exactly.
And we still have a lot of work to do on population projections and those, trying to correct some of those as well. We had, that was part of our discussion during the groundwater committee meeting as well, is how were we going to deal with that a little later in the cycle.
Right.
I got to tell you guys, this cycle is going to be very dynamic. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be as easy as the last one.
Zach Holland.
Easy.
So on the mag peak factors, kind of for a clarification for me, again, the phone call I got, again, was requesting or asking if there was anything that I knew of within my counties or within our area that was in need of a mag peak factor. Is there going to be, I guess, a second step of evaluating strategies and things like that that will then come from the regional water planning group itself back to the GCDs requesting the mag peak factor at that point? Because that's always been my overall understanding of how the mag peak factor is. That's a request kind of on the back end flipping and trying to help utilize that tool to square the numbers on y'all's end.
Yeah, if it's an appropriate use, and Gary, correct me if I'm misspeaking anything that the group discussed, the committee discussed, but yeah, there was a general understanding that if there were some water management strategies that were short some small appropriate amount that needed some small volume adjustment that a mag peak factor could be appropriately used for, that the group would readdress that at the time to make, you know, an alternate strategy into a recommended strategy to avoid any, you know, missed opportunities on the funding end. So I think that was where the committee left it. Is that a good understanding, Gary? Good summary?
I believe so.
Yeah. Of course, there will be, you know, Tony can maybe speak to this more, but there's a timing in that if it's a complicated, you know, assessment and needs to go back to GCDs and everything else, then it's going to be there's going to be a limit on how late that can come in. So, thank you.
Okay. Kenny Weldon.
Yeah, just two simple questions. The percentages that are used, where did they come from, and are they used consistently across regional water planning groups?
So they came from the 2021 plan.
That's not what I'm asking. Who said these are the numbers? I realize they came from a previous plan, but what body or entity declared this is what the number is going to be? That's my question. And then are they used across the board?
We adopted them.
Right. They came from the evaluations performed by the Region G planning group during the last
prior
cycle.
Planning, yes.
And so in discussion at our committee meetings, we felt like that was still a good place to be for now.
Right.
While we're trying to deal with several other issues that may or may not change, such as population projections being updated and also the possibility of peaking factors and as I mentioned, it'll be dynamic. But that's where it came from. It came from evaluation.
Right. And I wouldn't question the number. I just think for the record and purposes of this body, just to state that is an important reference point for us all. So thank you for that.
I'm going to let Ron answer you the second part of your question. And that was our other regional, what did the other regional water planning groups use?
Those numbers in all GCD to Region G. Each region makes a determination of their own as to how to develop and how to determine their existing supplies. So, I can't cite for you what specific other groups are using, but I can tell you that I've not seen those specific numbers.
Kenny, thank you for those questions. Yep. You're right. It's very important to document that at this time.
Any other questions?
Wayne.
Yeah, I heard him. I'm just deciding. Is it a quick question?
Yeah, it's a long answer, though.
Go ahead and ask your question, but you need to go up here with, and introduce yourself.
My name is Doug Fike. I'm with Corridor Water, LLC, which is a producer of water, groundwater, Central Texas. My question is, we start off with a volume of water, groundwater availability that's produced by the Groundwater Conservation Districts, which is a very, very conservative figure relative to the actual supply of groundwater in the state of Texas. So how do you reckon with the actual supply of water as opposed to the modeled available groundwater? Because the modeled available groundwater starts off at a very, very small figure relative to the actual supply. And if you start off with a minimum amount of groundwater and then you adjust it downward based on the fact that you're used this 25 to 75% availability and also the figures that are generated by the GCDs that reckon with the modeled available groundwater, all of this comes into play whenever you when you go back to the Texas Water Development Board for SWIFT funding, because if this modeled available groundwater is not in the state water plan, you can't get financing with SWIFT money. So what I want to know is, how do you reckon with the actual supply as opposed to the modeled supply? And I don't know who answers that question except for somebody that's on the board.
We'll let,
if you even want to answer,
we'll let Mr. Westbrook answer that question.
I'm sorry?
We'll let Mr. Westbrook answer that question.
Okay, Gary, thank you.
Sure. So the short answer is your groundwater management area. They adopt desired future conditions. That information is sent to the Texas Water Development Board. They return the modeled available groundwater. During the adoption of desired future conditions, there are 9 factors required to be considered by the groundwater conservation districts in a GMA. One of those items is the state water plan and any project that's in the plan. And so that is your opportunity to come forward, produce information so that it might be considered at the GMA as they adopt desired future conditions.
Okay, so they take a percentage of whatever is normally considered to be available groundwater.
That's not how the process works, sir.
You don't do the 25 to 75%?
Well, you're talking about the total estimated recoverable storage, which
correct.
Is TERS.
Correct.
That is one of the considerations that the GCDs do look at, but there's 9 considerations, and one of those is open-ended, which is any other relevant factors. I always love that one. But that's your opportunity to participate in the planning at that point at the GMA.
Okay. Well, the plan has to be using actual figures as opposed to what the GCDs come up with.
And the actual figures are what the GCDs come up with. That's the way the law reads.
The projections of available groundwater are not what the...
That discussion, deliberation, and decision takes place at the groundwater management area, not at this group.
And then
this group is bound to use the main.
Thank you for your answer. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it is a challenge. Believe me, we talk about that here as well. But that has to be dealt with under current statute. My understanding is has to be dealt with at the GMAs.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your comments.
Any
other questions?
Those are good clarifying questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go back to the other slide, please. All right, so this is the recommendations that the Groundwater Committee over a period of 3 meetings have looked at, discussed. This is the recommendations that they have put forth and voted on in the committee to bring forth to the group. Now go to the next slide, please. So this is the suggested action. This is a motion and a second from the committee. The Brazos G Regional Water Planning Group adopts the recommendations of the Brazos G Groundwater Committee as presented above for the purposes of the 2026 Brazos G Regional Water Plan. So we have a motion. Is there any other discussion on the motion? We have a motion and a second from the committee. Is there any other discussion? If not, then we're going to vote. I think everybody is present to vote. I will try a voice vote. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed, no. Okay, it passes. Thank you. And I want to thank the committee for the work that they did in bringing those recommendations forth.
Yes, thank you to all you guys. We had a lot of discussions about a lot of sensitive issues. And
yeah.
I really do appreciate the committee's involvement. And Jim, our prayers are with you and your mom. I'm glad she's doing better.
Yes, she's doing much better.
Thank you.
And there may be, if a mag peak factor comes up, there may be a need for another meeting of the Groundwater Committee. And then they have that recommendation that will go to the Water Policy Committee, which Charles is chair of.